All right, everybody, stand up for me. Stand up, leave all your stuff there in the pew, and make your way down to the front. Everybody down here to the front. Come on down. Trust me, you're not coming forward. I'm not going to baptize all of you this morning. But come on down. Come on down. You'll see how this goes. Just come on down. All right, we're all friends here. All right. This is the dividing line, just letting you know, right here. You see where that little lectern is, right here with these mics? This is the dividing line. Chick-fil-A or Taco Bell? Go. Chick-fil-A or Taco Bell? Nice. So here's our Mexican food crowd over here thinking outside the bun. Well done. Good, yeah. Weird. Wow. I'm Chick-fil-A, gotta tell you. Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A. All right, here we go. This is a little more challenging. Taylor Swift or Imagine Dragons? Either or. The old country Taylor was certainly nice. I like the old country Taylor. I hear Taylor, yeah? Yeah. All right. A few guys over here on the old Taylor side. Actually, I'm not. I'm Imagine Dragons. You like this? Yeah, okay. All right. Snickers, M&M's. Snickers or M&M's? It's kind of like, man. Both good, huh?
That's great.
Who's almond M&M's? Almond M&M's, anybody? Yes, almond M&M's. Yeah, pretzel M&M's.
Nah,
no. Very good. Snickers crowd? All right. Satisfying the hunger, I get it. All right. Apple or PC? Apple or PC? Apple. PC. Apple crowd, everybody Apple,
yeah.
iPhones. These are the people you text and the screen's always green, you know what I'm saying? There's always one and you can't name your thread either, okay, because of them. Because of them. It's because of them. Actually, I'm Apple, let me get over here. Yeah, my wife has converted me. All right, here we go. This is a big one. Mountains or beach? Mountains or beach? Beach. Beach crowd over here. Beach crowd. Beach crowd. It's... Yeah.
I mean, we're going in 14
days. Yeah, I guess.
Huh?
Oh, are you going in 14 days? Where? Gulf Shores. That's right. I like Gulf Shores. So is this split down the middle? Either way? You're the continental divide. Is that where you are? Right there? Right down the middle? Okay, I can see that. All right. This is a big one. Camp or family vacation? Camp or family vacation? Have y'all been to camp? No, you haven't been to camp? You been to camp? Haven't been to camp? Been to camp? Are y'all, is this camp? Everybody camp? You know where my children are every time I do this? Camp. Yeah, I'd much rather be at camp. Actually, I'd rather be at camp also. I gotta tell you, camp's a good place to be. Yeah, thank you very much. All right. What did you learn?
Public opinion.
All right, there is a little public opinion. Because did you notice, did anybody notice, and don't point at them, that some people always went with the same people wherever they went? Anybody see that?
Yeah.
I really hate M&Ms, but everybody's got M&Ms. I'm going M&Ms. I don't want to be alone. Anybody got that? Yeah, and we're all like that. We're all like, so I can't make a decision. Who do I know? Oh, I know them. I'll go over there. Yeah. All right, there's a little puzzle. What else did you learn? I'm sorry? What'd you learn? Did anybody notice that every time you made a decision, your environment changed a little bit? Because invariably, we all like to go back to the same spot, but somebody else is in my spot now, so I've got to move over here. And then you got new people around you. Everybody notice that? Simple decision, but new people around you. All right? What else did you notice every time?
That's true.
You were always right. Because I know what's right and wrong, right? So I know what's right. And this crowd's over going, no, family vacations, you know. Yeah. So, if you're going to Hawaii, I could see and understand that. You know, maybe so. Australia, I could get that. You know, but, you know, if we're going to Paducah, Kentucky versus camp, I'm not sure about that one. Yeah, I get that. What else did you learn? Yep.
People
have different opinions. And when it comes to different opinions, sometimes those opinions don't seem to mean that much, or it's not that big of a deal. Really? Not many people argue over M&Ms and Snickers, right? No, or that. But because of your opinion, your environment changed too, didn't it? They don't go to camp. Keep them in prayer. Of course, while you're sweating it out like a dog with sand all in your shorts, they're having fun eating at a nice restaurant with their parents. You know what I'm saying? We're eating camp food. You know what I'm saying? We're eating camp food. All right. And here's the last thing I want you to bear in mind. Each decision, regardless of how simple it might have been, it carried a consequence. It carries a consequence. Not that big of a deal. But look at this crowd right now because they chose camp. They're all getting the coronavirus because they're all packed in here real tight to one another. These people be okay. See what I'm saying? All right, you can go back to your seats. Thank you for playing along. Well done. There's a simple principle here. Y'all want to pull out your study guide for this lesson. We're going to talk about the principle of the path, and here's a couple of things I want you to keep in mind before we actually really get into this lesson, because the little thing that we just did is really setting us up for this study. You're always free to make choices, but you're never free from the consequences of your choices. Did you catch that? You're always free to make choices, but you're never free from the consequences of that choice. Just because I chose a certain singer, or I chose a particular restaurant, or because I chose where I wanted to vacation, that's all fine and good, but it has a consequence that comes with it. And not all consequences are bad. Sometimes we hear the word consequence and we go, oh my word. Often consequences are good. You chose to come to this weekend event. I hope there's some good consequences there for you. Does that make sense? But there's something else that you need to keep in mind, and this is really, 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 really important. I want you to imagine that Mr. Wilson decided that when he was leaving here today, and he didn't tell his kids about this, Alex and Leah, you're getting ready to find out, he's decided he's taking you to Disney World.
And he all of a sudden, tomorrow when he gets up and preaches for us, he lets everybody at church know, hey, we're going to Disney World. We're going to be one of the people walking around in 105 degree temperature wearing a mask. It's going to be great. We're going to Disney World. And so his kids get all excited, and they go out there, and they jump in their car, and we're all watching them leave. In fact, Mr. Wilson even puts on some goofy ears because he's really into it. And he jumps in his car, and they've even taken shoe polish and put Disney World all over the back. You ever seen people do that when they're going on vacation? Let everybody know they're a tourist so you know which car to break into to get the cool stuff, all right? But you watch them leave, and you see them drive on out to Interstate 65, and they turn left and head north. You're like, dude, didn't they say they were going to Disney World? Yeah, I know, I'm probably going to Disney World. And so he and his family are driving, and they're just really having a good time, and they're singing, you know, all the little Disney songs, and they're having a blast. They got Hannah Montana in the, you know, the CD player and everything. And then they get up to Louisville, and they pull over at Chick-fil-A, because they're good Christians. That's where you eat. You go to Chick-fil-A. And they hop out, and everybody goes, hey, I know where you're going. That's right, we're going to Disney World. Man, it's going to be great. Well, y'all have fun, y'all. You know, if you got your goofy mask, yeah, I've got my special mask. And the people at Chick-fil-A see them jump out on the interstate, and they start heading north. And they're like, didn't they say they were going to Disney World? Yeah, yeah, man, Disney World or bus. And then they get to Indianapolis. And they jump out to eat dinner. And everywhere they go, we're going to Disney World. And you're like, but that's not the way to Disney World. Here's what I want you to remember. Very important. Direction, not intention, leads to a destination. In that deep? It's real deep. Yeah. But it's so true. Direction, not intention, leads to a destination. The fact of the matter is we all have great intentions. We all have great ambitions. We all have great plans. And those things are great. You got to have an intention. But the intention does not make you get to your destination. The intention does not lead you there, but your direction does. And I don't care how great your intention is, if you're wanting to go to Disney World and you keep heading north on I-65, you're never going to get there unless you drive all the way through the North Pole and then come all the way through Antarctica and then come all the way back up from South Africa. Then you might. But it's probably not going to happen. Because intention has no value unless you understand the principle of the path. And every path has a direction. You got that? All right, let's turn into the book of Proverbs, and I want to take you to a story in the book of Proverbs. We generally think of Proverbs as a book that has all these little one-verse great spiritual nuggets, and it does. It is filled with them. But there is actually a story in the book of Proverbs, and you find it in Proverbs chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading here in verse 6, all right? Proverbs chapter 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house I have looked out through my lattice, and I've seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. Let me stop right here just real quick. First of all, this is a dad who's watching a boy, and it's not his kid. And I'll explain why it's not his kid in a moment, because if it was his kid, he'd have jumped out of that window and gone down and grabbed that kid, all right? But he's looking out his window, and he sees a young man. Now, you see this phrase here? I have the English Standard Version. It says, he's lacking sense. What does that mean? Here is a young man who is lacking sense. What does that mean?
He's not thinking correctly.
Oh, he's not thinking correctly. What else? Now, more than likely, some of you are thinking, stupid. The boy's stupid. That's not exactly what it means. It can be at times. What it means is, yes, ma'am.
He's not making a good
decision. All right. Really? You got that from that, that he's not making a good decision? He's just out taking a stroll. Right? No, he isn't. She's right. lacking sense, and here's the point I want you to see. This is very, 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 very important. He hasn't been down this path before. Lacking sense suggests he's simply ignorant. And ignorance is not a bad word. Ignorance simply means he doesn't know better. He doesn't know where this road goes. He doesn't have that kind of wisdom yet. But the guy watching does. Now, just out of curiosity, how many of you think, from what we just read, and we only really read two verses, how many of you think this is a bad path? Look at all the girls raising their hand. They saw the one thing about the woman. All the guys are going, well, let's check this lady out. We're not sure yet on her. You know what I'm saying? Just because, you know, all the girls are going, oh, this is bad. And watch, the girls are going to get worse. Telling you guys, just telling you. But all the guys are going, I don't know. Guys just going for a walk. What's wrong with that? Verse 10. And behold, the woman meets him, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. Now, that's a little judgmental, don't you think? In this one of those little judgmental moments where, oh, look at her. Look at the way she's dressed. Any of your moms ever done that? Oh, no. Right. You're like, what? And most of the girls are going, yes, that's bad. And all the guys are going, what? What? No, what's wrong with that? Who's to say she's dressed as a prostitute? Isn't that a little judgmental? You know what I'm saying? She's not a prostitute. We're going to find she has a great job here in a moment, you know? She's loud, wayward, and her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, at every corner she lies in wait. And notice verse 13. She seizes him, kisses him. Oh, just out of curiosity. Any guys here a chick magnet? You just can't help it. The girls just come to you. Yeah? You got a chick magnet over here? Trust me, there's some of us, we're chick magnets. It's not our fault. Just walk around, the girls just come to you. Hey, what am I going to do? And this guy's just taking a walk now. He can't help it that he's a chick magnet, you know? He's a little Tom Cruise, you know, maybe got going on there. He's a little Sean Connery kind of guy. He's probably got the deep British accent like we talked about last night. You know, and he's ripped like LeBron James. He can't help it. Anybody here think this is heading in a bad place? Anybody? Anybody? A few of you? A couple of the guys are raising their hand because they know the girls are looking at them. All right. But notice, this is important. She seizes him and kisses him. I wasn't asking for it. I just got some free lip. It's great. And with a bold face, she says to him, oh, this is important, verse 14. I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. What does that mean? I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vows. Where has she just been to? Where do you go and make sacrifices, and where do you pay for vows? The temple. She's a church person. This is the kind of girl you would meet at church. She just went to church. I know some of you girls are thinking, oh, wait. No. She goes to church. Well, more in fact, she only goes to church. She takes part in church. She's gone and gave at church. She gave of her means at church. She went and offered the sacrifices, and now she's bringing some of it home with her. And then notice verse 15. And so now I've come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I have met you. Again, this guy's just a chick magnet. Walking around, minding his own business, and she just runs up to him, and she goes to church. Now, let me just think, guys. I'm sure this happened a couple of years. I was at a team weekend out in Beaumont, Texas, and we were kind of talking about making good choices and choosing a good spouse, all right? And so I came up with this incredible idea. I said, I'll let the girls describe the perfect husband, and then I'll let the guys describe the perfect wife. I'll set them off separate ends of the room, let them work, and see what happens. Man, it worked amazing. The girls, man, they were just getting after it, working all around. The guys, I could see them also, you know, working on it. And I let them go for a full 15 minutes, and it was still, but it had been, I could have let them go for a long time. And so I started with the girls. I'm like, let's get together. We can't spend here all day. All right, girls, you go first. Tell me, what is the perfect husband? And their spokesperson stood up, and she goes, and I got up on the whiteboard here, you know. I had two whiteboards. So I had the whiteboard on this side. I said, number one, what's the perfect husband? He's a godly man who loves his wife, loves his children, always works in the church. He's a good mentor and leader and always a good role model to everyone around him. And he loves me and his children. Number one. Number two. And I mean, I was like, I am the greatest teacher in the world because they filled up an entire whiteboard. It was amazing how they filled it up. And so after I got done with the girls, I went over to the guys and said, all right, guys, your turn. Oh, yeah, Mr. Phil, trust me, this is going to be great. I said, all right, number one, what's the perfect wife? And they went, she's hot. That took you 15 minutes? Yeah. All right. All right. Number two, what you got? I said, number two, what you got? What else? What else is there? Really? We're at church. And then one kid goes, she's a Christian. Oh, okay, good. Cindy Crawford Christian. All right, there we go. Supermodel Christian. Is that it? Y'all were 15 minutes? That was what you were doing? That's all you got? And really? And I was like, oh, I went from being the greatest teacher in the world to now I'm just a total washout. I'm never going to be asked back. I said, really, y'all got anything else? Trust me, anything? You look at the girls. You got anything else? And one little kid, probably about 7, went, she can cook biscuits? Guys are so deep. So deep. Well, this guy is looking for Cindy Crawford Christian, and he could care less whether she cooks biscuits or not. But she's interested in him. Me? Just minding my own business. Walking around at night. And she came up to me. I wasn't looking for her. She found me. Now, before you girls get way too judgmental, all right, I want you to notice what happens next. She says, I've spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. She's a house interior designer, and she's a good one. Egypt, man, this woman probably got a degree from Western Kentucky in interior design. And here she is, she travels the world. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. She's got a good smelling house. Come, let us take our fill of love till the morning. This is church, I'll be careful. But you thought that this was kind of a lustful situation? It's love. They're in love. Doesn't love count for something? If you're in love, doesn't that make it all right? If you're in love, isn't it okay? Just out of curiosity now, who all thinks this is headed in a bad place? Yeah. And if you don't think it's headed in a bad place, I hope you do after verse 19. For my husband is not at home. I would hope not. I can't imagine if he was. But notice what she says. He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him, which means he's got a ton of money to spend. He's going to be gone a long time. And at full moon, he'll come home. You know what she's saying? Here's, this is important. This is a choice that doesn't have a consequence. It's the choice without a consequence. Because nobody's going to know. There's no way to get caught. You think it's a lie? And with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her. You can just see him. She's got him. And he follows her, and notice, as an ox that goes to the slaughter, or as a stag that is caught fast in a snare, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. This guy, more than likely, as he was walking, see, now you see why this guy who's watching all this from his room, this wasn't his kid? See what I'm saying? Because if it was his kid, he'd have jumped out of the window, ran down and tackled that boy and dragged him back to the house by his ear. That's what he'd have done if it was his kid. But this kid's just minding his own business, walking down the road, and you can imagine what's going on in his mind. She found me. And he's got this song going on in his mind, Party Like a Rock Star, and he thinks he's just the man. But the preacher who's watching it from the window has another song in his mind, and it's the theme song of Jaws. Dun-dum, dun-dum. This is bad. Dun-dum, dun-dum. Swim faster. Don't you hear it coming? Dun-dum, dun-dum. Let me ask you a question. Notice those last verses that we read, like an ox to the slaughter, a bird to the snare, a stag caught fast. Does this really kill him? Isn't that a little dramatic language? Isn't that a little bit of, maybe your poetic interpretation? Did it really kill him? Why? How'd it kill him?
It killed his soul.
Killed his soul? Okay, I can see that. Did it really kill him? We got killed his soul. Did he die that day? Well, he didn't die necessarily. But innocence died. Wouldn't that be fair to say? Purity died. A good example died. If the husband came home, he might have died. When his mom got a hold of him, he probably died. But what it came with was a terrible consequence of life. Because even if he made a good choice later and tried to get out of it, he still is going to live with the guilt, with the shame, and maybe even some other big consequences from that decision. Now, let me ask you this. Whose fault? Who's at fault here? Who's at fault, the guy or the girl?
Yes?
Yes? Which one? Both? I mean, she's the prostitute. You girls are the problem. See, if you girls didn't dress up like that and weren't so pretty, it's the girls who are the problem. He's just minding his own business. She pulled him in, right? It's all the girl's fault, right? Right? And who's all with me on that one? Oh, it's the girl's fault. All these guys going, man, I want to raise my hand, but I'll never get a date again in my life. Not anybody in here. How's it his fault?
He went along?
Where did he cross over the line? Where did he fall off the cliff?
He went there in the first place.
I'm sorry?
He went there in the first place.
Well, he was just taking a walk.
He was going to a bad place in the night. He was setting himself up.
All right, did y'all hear that? Where this guy fell off the cliff, and she's exactly right, was not at the very end of the story. You go back to the very beginning. He decides, and notice this. He decides to take a path, and notice verse 8. He was passing along the street to where? Where he knew she would be. During the daytime, that might have just been a great corner. You might go down there and get you a couple of mangoes and bananas. It's a fine corner. Go get you some fruit. But at night, it's her place. Direction, not intention, leads to a destination. I never intended for this to happen. Oh, I can't believe this happened. Direction, not intention, leads to a destination. I'm going to share a story with you. I hear this all the time. I bet Wilson does too, and probably Brother David. If you've ever been working with people, you hear this all the time, and I've heard it many times. There's a young couple that decides, we got to get married. We want to get married. Mr. Phil, we're going to get married. Oh, we just love each other so much. And I'm like, hey, I'm very happy for you, but have you ever thought about finishing school yet? No. We really, really, really want to get married. We just love each other so much. Well, why don't you wait a little longer? Why don't you wait for a little bit, and then maybe both of you can get some good jobs, and then you can get married, and then you no, you understand. There's a Bible passage, Mr. Phil. It's better to marry than burn. I don't think that means what you think it means. Oh, we got to get married. Is there anything wrong with me? Is it unscriptural for us to get married? Well, not exactly. We want to get married. Okay, enjoy. Hey, great, get married. After they get married, they say, hey, you wait, Mr. Phil, we really got to start making some money here. I've got this great job at Chick-fil-A, and we're going to get a big new car. Oh, I just want a new car. I've never had a nice car. Well, wait a minute. Dave Ramsey would tell you. It'd probably be ready to drive the piece of junk for a little while longer. Then you'll be fine. No. Hey, look, I got here. This qualification came in the mail. I need to get a credit card. If there's only a credit card, and da-da-da, I'm going to get a car. Get a car. Okay, we get a car. Enjoy. Yay, I got the big, nice new car. Then it's, oh, we got this job. We got this job offer out of town. Oh, it's going to pay us so much money. Oh, well, that's great. I'm excited for you. But where is it? Oh, do they have a church there? No, they really don't. But there's probably a small group of Christians about, 60 miles away. We'll go worship with them. Well, have you really any think about that? No. We really love one another. It's going to be a great job. And so they move off and they go to town. And okay. And then they get pregnant. And then here we are, we just got married, and now we've got this job living out of town. We're both working at Chick-fil-A, and we're driving so far to get to church, and now we got a baby. You really ought to wait on that. No, we want to have a family now, okay? And that keeps happening, till one day the wife comes into the office, says, hey, can I talk to you? Can I meet with you and Miss Cheryl? Sure. And they just fall to pieces. He doesn't love me anymore. We've had all these problems and da-da-da-da-da-da. Now we have no money. The car got wrecked. We don't have that job anymore. We don't have any friends. It's amazing. The church isn't good to us at all. They never kind of say, you live 60 miles away. Yeah, but they should do more for us. This, that, and the other. And you're sitting there and you go, it's not, and then you hear this, it's not my fault. Fact of the matter is, when you're heading down a path, that path only goes one direction. And we sometimes think we can pick up that path, and I'm going to make it go because this is the way I want to go, and I'm going to make it end up somewhere else. No, you can't. Remember that story of Mr. Wilson where you can drive north all you want and you can think I'm going to pick up 65 and when it goes north, I'm going to make it turn south eventually. And it's going to, no, you can't. Because there's a principle of pathways. And the story that we just read, you could apply that to many, many, many different situations. Scripture tells us, in fact, one of my favorite verses, and if you were to go to my Instagram, you'll find this on there. This is one of my favorite verses. I always make sure I share it with the kids at camp. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. In other words, you really think not only about your intentions, and intentions are great, but you ponder where are your feet headed? In what direction are you going in? Because if you really think things through and you do a good job of listening to others who have already been down the paths before, your way will be established. It's not just in Proverbs 4:26 and Proverbs 14:18. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his ways. And the folly of fools is deceiving. It is the fool that thinks to himself that he can go out at night and go to that corner and not get in trouble. It's the fool who thinks to himself that he can be the exception. He can be the one person who can actually make that decision and it won't affect him badly. The fool thinks, I will be the person who overcomes all the odds and it won't happen bad to me. It is deceiving. And then Psalms 27:11, teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Let's go back to that young man. That was an exciting night for him, by the way. Don't you know when she ran up and started kissing him, he was like, oh, yes, I am the man. This is so much fun. And it was probably fun the next day and the next day. But eventually it's not going to be very fun. And it's not going to be a smooth ride because that path leads to a bad place. And the enemies there aren't necessarily enemies that you've got somebody who's going to come hunt you down and just beat the tar out of you, which that husband probably could have done to that guy. Sometimes the enemies are just the enemies of life, finances, the enemies of life, finding a good job, the enemies of life, being able to pay my bills and handle situations, the enemies of life, being able to find myself in a situation where I know what I can do to make good choices. There's many enemies of life that aren't just an opposing force coming to beat the tar out of you. And the psalmist says, Lord, let me see your ways. So my path can be smooth. I want you to grasp and understand that the Bible speaks to us a whole lot about pathways. And these pathways are pathways that are described for us in Scripture to give us a light. Y'all ever heard this passage? Your word is a what? Light unto what? My path. It illuminates so I can see where I need to be going. Because there's going to be situations in our life in which we're going to be caught between two quandaries, two choices. There's a fork in the road, and you want to follow the path that is illuminated by the Word of God. So let me wrap this up for you with four principles of the path, all right? Four principles of the path that Scripture shows us. Number one, let me go back to that deep statement in the beginning. Direction, not intention, determines my destination. Direction, not intention, determines my destination. You're going to hear all the time, and you've probably caught yourself before, but I had good intentions. Everybody has good intentions. But intentions do not get you to your direction or your destination. Only your direction does, all right? So direction, not intention, determines your destination. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, its way is what? Well, death. The Proverbs actually repeats that one more than once for us. Secondly, very important, the path never changes. The path never changes. My wife and I, we just celebrated our 30th anniversary. I told you about that last night, all right? And what's funny is, I'll have people that want to come and talk to me. In fact, I've had this ever since I started preaching. I started preaching when I was 20 years old. And it was funny how, as a 20-year-old, people would come and say, hey, can we meet with you? We want you to help us with some marriage counseling. Oh, I'm 20. I've never been married. Sure, come on in. I'll take care of you. I was like, no, am I the guy? Is that the guy you want to go to for marriage counseling? No, sorry. 30 years into it, I still don't know if I'm the guy you should be coming to. But you'll have a couple sit down and they'll start saying, describing their problems, and they'll be going over, and you go, and you thought this, didn't you? Yes, I did. And then you reacted like this, didn't you? Yes, I did. And then you got mad about that. Yes, you are so smart, Mr. Phil. You're amazing. No, I'm not. I've just been married 30 years. I've done all that myself. That's how it happened. Wait till you hear Miss Cheryl talk. She'll go, he's an idiot. Yeah. But you know what you call that? That's wisdom. And sometimes we learn bad paths the hard way. You know what Scripture implores us to do all the time? To seek the counsel of those who are older. And the reason is because those who are older will tell you paths do not change. That's how somebody knows how somebody's going to react to a situation. That's how your parents know, hey, you go there, this is probably going to happen. Really? Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to happen. And then you go, and, yeah, it happened. Because paths do not change. Isaiah 53, verse 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've each one turned to our own way. But here's what you need to keep in mind, and this is very important. You can always change paths. I can't change the path, but I can change paths. And one of the principles, and I hope you heard Mr. Wilson explaining this to you, is that you can always turn back to God. The prodigal could always come back to God. Even the thief on the cross could always come back to God. You will always, and this is what makes Christianity such a wonderful relationship, you can always change. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You can always start over. You can always be refreshed and made new. You can change paths. It's always available to you. But I've got to be willing to get off this path and quit trying to force it to go a certain direction and get back on the path that leads me where I really want to go. Y'all are at a point in your life where you're going to be making some humongous decisions here soon. And it's not about Chick-fil-A or M&M's. Those are important decisions, though, I will say, sometimes. Let's just be honest. But you're going to be making a decision about, okay, when I'm in high school, what club am I going to choose to be in? Which group of people do I want to hang around with? And even sometimes some organizations, while they in and of themselves are harmless, the people who are there can change what the outcome will be for me at that place. Does that make sense? I'm sure some of us have probably been on ball teams or been in little clubs where there was nothing wrong being on that team and playing that sport or being in that club, but because of the people who were there, it was not a good place to be. And that wasn't a good path. So you're going to have to make some of those change, those choices. All right? You're also going to be making a choice of where you go to school if you decide to go to school. That's a big one. I live in Gainesville, University of Florida. All right? Everybody wants to be a Gator down there. It's fun. It's exciting. Best athletes in the world. Great school. Oh, where are you from? You were an abused child, dropped on your head early. What happened? Is that what happened? I'm so sorry. God bless you. Yeah, get Seminoles. I may have to change my lesson tomorrow morning now. But hear me on this. We lose almost half our college students to the world. They come with good intentions. That one year, I had a bunch of kids from camp who just decided we're not going to go to FC or a school like that. We're going to come up and go, we want to be Gators. And man, Mr. Phil's there. It's going to be great. And boy, a bunch of kids came out. I was like, really? No. No, go to FC a couple of years, establish some good friends. It's really hard. No. We're going to come up there. And they all decided to come, a big group of them. And I lost half of them. Still kills me. And that doesn't mean just because you go to a school that's not a church school that that's going to happen. But I want you to know, every choice has a consequence. You're going to be making choices about where you're going to go work. That's a real big one. Before you think about salary, before you think about the prestige of the job, before you think about all the advancement, you better think about where that is located. Because if there's not a good church there, a strong, vibrant church, you are entering dangerous territory. And then the biggest decision that you're ever going to make is who you marry. I know you're thinking, wait, no, becoming a Christian, that's a big decision, I'll tell you that. But who you marry is going to determine how you live your faith. Big decisions. And I don't share that with you to scare you. I share it with you so that you avoid the pitfall of deception and you see the wisdom of the path. We can always change paths. And then one more. When Jesus was sharing the Sermon on the Mount, he told us that the way to heaven is narrow. Now, don't misinterpret this. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It doesn't mean it's really only for the few. It's simply Jesus telling us, if you want to go to heaven, you will go there because of not only your intention, but you were willing to follow the path. And the reason it's described as narrow is because it's not as popular as other decisions. The way is what? Wide that leads to what? Destruction. But narrow that leads to life. And what Jesus is simply saying is, it is a set path. Come follow me. All right? So to wrap all this up, there isn't a one of us here, and I had fun picking on the girls, that went and read that story and then see right from the very beginning, this is bad. This guy's not just simple, he's stupid. And you know why that is? Because we see everybody else much more clearer than we see ourselves. That's bad! Oh man, they are messing up! But no, I can handle it. It won't be a mess up for me. That's our challenge. And so let me encourage you to surround yourself with good people who will help you make these important decisions. And please have the wisdom to listen to them. Seek the wisdom. Listen to the principles of the path. All right, thank you all very much. We will take a break and then we'll have one more lesson together.